That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Let's have a word of prayer before we look at the passage. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you that you're the God who speaks. Father, may our hearts and minds and souls be open and attentive to what you want to say to us at the beginning of this new year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So have you ever had a time in your life where you've been looking forward to something happening? You've been longing for something to happen, and you just have this sense that if only this, when this thing happens, everything will be better. When this thing happens, everything will be all right. Maybe it's a season of unemployment or financial pressure, and you think, well, if I get a new job, then everything will be better. Or maybe it's been a relationship breakdown, and you just think, well, if only there can be reconciliation in the relationship, everything will be better. And you live with that sense of longing, and you just think, if only that would happen, everything would be better. And sometimes we live with that longing and the thing happens and it isn't as good as we thought it was going to be. But it's just that sense of longing sometimes. You think, if only I could get to that point, everything would be better. Well, the people of God in the Old Testament live with that longing. Because for the people of God in the Old Testament, their understanding of history is that there are two periods of history. There is the present age and there is the age to come. And they live, they know, in the present age. And in the present age, they understand that a lot has gone wrong. Things are not as they should be. The present age is filled with violence and conflict and wrongdoing and injustice and deprivation. And the people of God in the Old Testament, they understand that. We're living in this present age where things have gone very badly wrong. But they have a hope. And it's a hope that God reveals more and more through the prophecies of the Old Testament. And the hope is that one day, God will step in. One day, a day will come when God will step in and everything, there'll be a judgment, there'll be a restoration, and then the age to come will begin. And that's their understanding. We live in this present age where everything has gone very badly wrong, but we have a hope, and our hope is that one day God has promised that he will step in, and when he steps in, then the age to come will begin. And in the age to come, everyone will live under God's rule and reign. Everything will be as God fully intended it to be. And that's the hope that they live with. One of the things that we need to get our heads around is their understanding was, it wasn't that the present age, well, we'll live that here on earth, and then the age to come will just be a different spiritual age where we'll fly around with wings, sitting on clouds, playing the harp, and it'll all be spiritual and somehow ethereal. That is not Hebrew thinking at all. And I know we had some discussions about this on the Alpha course last term about, what is heaven going to be like? And many of us, we live with this understanding, which we've got from the Greeks rather than the Hebrews, which is we have this sort of physical life, and then this life ends, and then we go off and sit on the cloud and play harps. Hebrews didn't think like that. For them, it was all physical. It was all physical. The present age, that was physical. God will step in. The age to come will begin, and that will be physical as well. It will be a restoration of what has been lost, which is why when Jesus ascends into heaven in Acts chapter 1, and the disciples are looking up into the sky because they have been with a physical Jesus who they have watched ascend into heaven. And they see two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. the physical resurrected Jesus that they spent 6 weeks with after the resurrection, eating with, drinking with, holding, touching, talking to. They watched him ascend into heaven. The angels say he will come back in the same way that you saw him go. Not as a cloud, not as a spirit, not as a ghost. Physical resurrected Jesus. That's why Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 writes this, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. He's talking about those who know Jesus who die. He says they've just fallen asleep. Or to grieve like others who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. This is the Jesus who has ascended into heaven and will come back in the same way that you saw him go. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Important point. What's the direction of travel? Direction of travel is not that we are disappearing off into another existence, another world. Direction of travel is Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming. The Lord himself will come down from heaven and we'll go and greet him and welcome him home back to his restored earth. That's the direction of travel. And when you read the New Testament, you see that more and more. We've sort of adopted this Greek mindset of we're going to go off and sit in a cloud and play a harp. Direction of travel is Jesus is coming back. The physical resurrected Jesus. And everything will be restored. So that's just the introduction. Sorry. But people of God, they live with this hope. That's what they're longing for. This day when God will step in and everything will be put right. Everything will be restored. Everything will be better. That's what they're longing for. And what the Christians have realized, what John has realized, is it's happened. It's happened. The thing that we were longing for, it happened. It happened in the coming of Jesus. Just look at how John begins his gospel. Very familiar words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. This is the Son of God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And then he begins this first letter. That which was from the beginning, Jesus, the Son of God, who was there at the beginning, before there was anything other than God, when there was just God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living in this perpetual union of love. Before there was anything, Jesus was there. The Son of God was there. And then everything was spoken into creation. And that God dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this is extraordinary. He's writing about the one who was there at the beginning. We heard him. We saw him. We looked at him. We touched him. Just think for a moment how extraordinary that is. Why John is so excited. The thing that we were longing for, the thing we were looking forward to, we've experienced it. It's now. This is what distinguishes the Christian faith from any other religious system. Every other religion lives with the longing that one day we might get what we're looking forward to, what we hope for. And the journey for any other religious system is a journey of well, if we believe the right things, if we do the right things, one day we might. John is saying, we've seen it. We touched it. We heard it. We heard this life that has transformed everything. And that's what we proclaim. The life appeared. So just think about this. The things that we live with. Because the Hebrews had this understanding that there'd be a kind of decisive change from the present age to the age to come. And that when God stepped in, everything that we associate with the present age, all of its suffering and injustice, that would disappear. There would be a judgment and a restoration, and then the perfect age to come would begin. And the reality is, Jesus ushers in the age to come, but until he returns, we live with the overlap. So we continue to experience the things we associate with the present age, the injustice, the suffering, the inequality, all of that. We continue to experience it, but into that, the future that we're looking forward to has come. So think about the things that we struggle with in our lives, the fears, the anxieties, the disappointments, the sadnesses, the sicknesses, whatever it is, the things of the present age. God has already stepped into those things. God has already stepped into those things. Our times together when we, you know, our times together on a Sunday morning should be the most exciting moments of the week. It should be the most precious moments of the week, because it's as we worship together as a community of people who know and love the Lord Jesus that God manifests himself, that this one who John is so excited about. He said, you know, I heard him speak. I saw him. I touched him. This one that John is so excited about, by his spirit, Jesus, that same Jesus is here. We can't see him with our physical eyes. We can't touch him with our hands. But that same Jesus is here. And he brings that same transformation, that same life. Jesus says, I've come to bring life and life in all its fullness. You know, this church should be the most exciting place to be on a Sunday morning. It should be the thing that we look forward to most in the week, because we know we're going to get a taste of heaven, a taste of what we're looking forward to. I realise that on occasion, our Sunday morning services may not look quite like that. But that should be our expectation. Our expectation that we're going to meet with the living God, who's the one who transforms us. Towards the end, the second half of verse 3, John writes this. He says, our fellowship. So fellowship is this close union. It's this close relationship. It's this sort of intimacy about it. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. It is with the Father and Son. He doesn't say we are looking forward to one day having fellowship with the Father and the Son. We're looking forward to one day when we die going to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. No, he says our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship that we are enjoying now. We are experiencing, in part, the hope that we're ultimately looking forward to. And we already have fellowship. How did he have that fellowship? What did he do to enter into this fellowship with the living God? What did he do? He understood who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. He understood that Jesus was the Son of God and that Jesus had died on the cross to do something for him that he couldn't do for himself. He understood that he was a contributor to all the suffering of the present age in which he lived, and realised that he needed a saviour. He needed rescuing. And through faith, he put his trust in Jesus and entered into fellowship. It's so simple. It's so easy. It's almost insulting how easy it is to enter into fellowship with the living God. You kind of think, there must be more to it than that. There must be more that I've got to do. Well, John says in his gospel, to all those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's it. Believe in his name. Understand who he is and what he's done. Receive him and you enjoy fellowship with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and will do for eternity. This in verse 2, where he writes, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. That's not a very good translation. It's better translated, we proclaim to you the age to come. We proclaim to you the age to come. The thing that you're looking forward to, well, we know all about it. And we've experienced it. And we want to tell you about it now. It was with the Father and the Son. With the Father, it has appeared to us. It's Jesus. It is why the life, death of physical life, death and resurrection of Jesus is so central. So he says, our fellowship is with the Father. Beginning of verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. So do you see the kind of the way it all kind of connects up? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want to have fellowship with us. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit make this plan of salvation by which the Son becomes flesh and lives on earth and lives a perfect human life. The life appeared. People looked at Jesus and they saw, that's the life that we're longing for. That's who we want to be. That's how we want to live. They saw it in Jesus. That fellowship came. Jesus came. The life of God appeared. They saw it and they understood that in Jesus they were seeing God made flesh. And then through faith, the first disciples came into that relationship. And then they started telling others. And they started inviting others to come into that relationship. And that's what John says. We proclaim to you, we had the privilege of seeing him. We had the privilege of hearing his voice. We had the privilege of touching him. And it's so changed our lives that we want to tell you. We want to tell you all about it. And we want you to invite you to join us in this fellowship. And it's dead easy. You just have to believe in his name and receive him. And then you too can begin this. And then you too can start telling others. When I was preparing this, I was just thinking back to, Jess and Rich's baptism at the beginning of December. And how they, they moved to the village and they moved in, next door to Dee. And Dee proclaimed to them, through kindness and friendship, the good news of Jesus. And they clocked that she came to the chapel and she was part of this fellowship. And then one day Dee said, well, why didn't you come and meet us? Why didn't you come and find out? That's what proclamation can look like. We are in this fellowship with the Father and the Son. And through us, we extend this invitation to others. John finishes this last verse, verse 4. We write this, you'll see in the footnote, it's either our or joy. Beautiful both ways. We write this to make our joy complete. What is the thing that gives me the most excitement in life? The most excitement in life is being instrumental in someone coming to faith in Christ. That's the most exciting thing, because when that happens, they've discovered something that will last forever. It's an eternal gift. So when I see someone come to faith in Jesus, it kind of makes my joy complete. To baptize Jess and Richie was just the most beautiful thing. I'm like, I spend eternity with you now. I don't have to worry about your eternal destiny. You're sorted. And now God is going to use you to proclaim what you've discovered to others. And you're doing that, brilliantly. That's how it works. So it makes my joy complete, our joy, but it makes your joy complete to come into relationship with Jesus and realize the thing that you've hoped for, longed for, you've got it now. What could make you more joyful? So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack some more of 1 John. We haven't got time to do it all, but we're gonna look at some more of this good news and this gospel and what it really means and how we proclaim it, because it's just so, so beautiful. It's so exciting. The thing I wanted to leave you with this morning, at the beginning of this new year, because has anyone made a New Year's resolution? Anyone made a New Year's resolution? What's your New Year's resolution?
I know I made it, but I can't remember what it was.
You made it, but you can't remember what it was. So you need to try and remember things, and it's not going well.
I know that's never going to work, so I'm not going to try.
Okay. Anyone made a New Year's resolution that they can remember? Especially it's the 5th of January, Christy. Okay. Well, Christy's trying to think of her New Year's resolution. Go on, Bennett. A good New Year's resolution. John speaks about He speaks about the word of life. He speaks, you know, our God is a God who speaks, who reveals himself. And primarily, he speaks through this book. And anything else that he may say to us in other ways, in dreams and visions and pictures and words of knowledge, it will always agree with this book. So this has to be our, you know, our starting point for understanding the word of God. So my encouragement to you at the beginning of this new year is to be intentional about feeding yourself with this book and make it a daily discipline. Even if it's just reading a couple of verses, you know, if you've got a smartphone, download the YouVersion app. It's so easy to be intentional about reading God's word, because you can do it on your phone and there are all sorts of helps to do it. But just be intentional about it. Just even now, just think, okay, well, what am I going to do? Don't kind of go away and forget about it. Think, well, what am I going to do? Maybe I'm going to take one of these little John's Gospels home with me, if you haven't already got one. And I'm just going to read. I'm just going to read a page a day. I'm going to read a few verses a day. But be intentional. Make a start and see where you end up. But if you think, oh, well, you know, you won't get around to it. It's like decorating. You never get around to it. You always put it off to another day. Be intentional. You've remembered. Chris has remembered. You're going to paint your doll's house. Yeah, there we go. There it is. There it is. So you may want to be intentional about decorating your doll's house, but be intentional about reading God's words. You know, this is what, you know, it's our food. It's our spiritual food. You know, God has spoken. We want to hear it. So just have a few moments of quiet. And I want you to think, what am I going to do? How am I going to be intentional about reading God's word? And make a decision about what you're going to do. And then maybe at the end, tell someone what you've decided. So next time they can ask you. But let's just have a few moments of quiet.